Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on June 4th of 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to lighten up your life a little with talking about Toonami and anime and a lot of tangents. A lot of tangents. You know, it would be really funny if I went on a tangent right now after saying that. But I won't. I'll be talking about Toonami. So, let's see. I was looking up to find. So apparently, we're not having. They're putting a JoJo on a break, unfortunately, for something called Ball Masters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about some. Actually, I don't know. It's just reading. It looks like it's a show about some sort of like dark comedy series or about people who play this sport where people try to kill each other or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's I don't really know much about it. It sounds like a kind. It's oh yeah. The show is characterized by anime style iconography, dark humor, adult jokes, and shock value. Is what Wikipedia says.
Yeah, I think we might take off our usual watching on Saturday night because there's really not really much reason to stay up late because, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be worth it. Yeah, because we'd only be watching three shows, and
we can figure that out later, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out. It does seem like a weird thing, but I'm guessing they just have to do it because of delays in dubbing JoJo. So let's see. Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, I might check it out. We'll see. But the other question is, when does My Hero Academia come back on?
Yeah, it's not this week because this week's the school festival episode. So.
Yeah, I have not been paying enough attention to. Oh well, actually, wait, hang on. I might be able to find out through Let's see. Okay, I have no idea. Sorry.
Yeah, I looked it up and I saw it was the school festival episode. So it's definitely a rerun this week.
The school festival was the last one they had before they went into reruns, right? Or was there one after it?
No, you're right.
So it'll be the week after this week that we get the remaining two episodes.
Right.
Okay. So, now that we've figured all of that out, let's jump into actual Toonami. Nothing to say about My Hero Academia, because it's a rerun. Just listen to our previous episode, an earlier episode when we discussed that one. Mm-hmm. So, we go to Paranoia Agent Episode 6. So, I was right. They were not able to outdo the weirdness of the previous episode.
Yep.
So I guess they just decided, well, we can't beat it. Let's, you know, it'll be weird, but we won't like actually be trying to make it more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what's going on here. So they question that this woman who was a witness to the original one, the original thing, but she says that there wasn't anyone but that woman there. So they're thinking, basically conclude that she must have actually used it on her self or something like that. Meanwhile, there's this plot with this girl, I thought this was a flashback of the old woman for a while.
Yeah, so did I.
But no, it turns out that she's the daughter of that that like previous corrupt cop guy, I think. And she sees on the computer these, this was a weird thing. So, so she's looking at in the computer and there's some like folder in the recycle bin and it's got all these like pictures of her taking her clothes off or something. And I was just like, okay, if you were hiding it, why didn't you empty the recycle bin?
Yeah, that was really weird.
Yeah, so she gets all freaked out and discovers a hidden camera in her room. So she gets all upset and runs off. And then she's all like in despair. And then Lil Slugger shows up and slugs her.
Yeah. Which is getting kind of monotonous that every episode except for the good episode, it's always ended with someone getting slugged by Lil Slugger. Maybe there was one other one that didn't, but
the first three all end with someone getting hit by Lil Slugger. The fourth one ends with that one guy getting hit by the video game kid, thinking he was Lil Slugger, but then in what admittedly, to be fair, is a subversion of a subversion. He gets all angry and just like, you know, captures him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next one after that, there is no striking by Lil Slugger. So, all but one have involved someone getting hit, but the one of those ones where someone got hit was not the actual Lil Slugger. Mm-hmm. Or whatever Lil Slugger is, if the first one was actually self-inflicted, as it seems to be indicating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, this episode really was kind of a disappointment after the last one was so funny, but it looks like next episode we go back to the same stuff. So
all we know is that the wacky gamer guy is going to show up. We don't know anything at all. For all we know, it'll be an episode in which he is forced to confront the hard truth of how reality is not like a video game. And then he gets brought into another world entirely where everything is done by RPG rules, and then later on joins the cast of Isekai Quartet.
Yeah, well, that actually makes a little more sense than some of the episodes we've had so far. They've been bizarre.
Yeah, it's not even the show with the word bizarre in its name.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that, and we're on Black Clover episode 100. Let's see, 19. So basically, everyone works together, and they manage to apparently this time actually take down the bad guy.
Yeah. Wait, what are we on?
Black Clover.
Black Clover. Okay. Why am I feeling like we missed something? No, we didn't miss anything. We just skipped over Mob Psycho 100. Okay. I'm sorry. I got thrown off thanks to My Hero Academia not in this.
I don't even know why. It's just kind of annoying for them to choose Mob Psycho 1. Here's my question. Why is it so early? Why not later if it's just reruns?
Yeah.
Like, think how much more it would be more convenient if they were to just bump everything after it forward half an hour and put it at the end of the block. I mean, are its like ratings really good or something? Let me take a quick glance over at some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it follows the general thing of, hey, the first thing gets the most views, and then it goes down for each successive show. So, I mean, I guess it's not, so, I mean, it's not like, you know, an anomaly in that it's doing worse than the show, before, after it. But, yeah, it would be nicer if they were to just drop that at the end and move the other stuff up a bit.
Yeah, I suggested that on their Toonami page. Some people like my idea, but obviously they haven't done that. I don't understand, like, I mean, maybe they're trying to keep people watching so people like us who wouldn't watch Mob Psycho 100 are now forced to watch it because it's earlier, or we're not. I mean, we're not watching, but you know what
well,
I mean.
It might be that they want to keep the schedule more stable so you don't go and then say, wait, where's my show? Oh, it aired half an hour ago because they moved it all up? I just wish they would have put something that wasn't just a rerun. But, I mean, I'm going to guess they just figured, like, they wanted something that short to serve as a stopgap, and Mob Psycho 100 is only 10 episodes long in its first season.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible too. Yeah. Maybe they plan on showing season 2 soon. I don't know.
That is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish they would like re-air Bobobo or something so I could introduce you to that show.
When was the last time that aired on Adult Swim?
Oh, well, it never aired on Adult Swim. It aired on Toonami.
Cartoon Network / Adult Swim.
It was a long time ago. They just aired the whole thing. I do like the fact they did the whole thing, and then no one really did anything with it until it like got a few DVD releases. It was... the last episode aired on Toonami in 2007.
So that was probably right at the time I got into anime. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a long time ago.
Okay. So, okay. See, this is the kind of tangents we're talking about, although I guess it's not really tangent because it's about Toonami. But on Black Clover, yeah, I enjoyed the episode, honestly.
It was like, you know, classic shonen, you know, the hero, like, just gets all his, you know, determination and power, and he puts everything into one shot, and then the animation style changes, and then he wins.
Yeah, but I mean, I do like the fact that the other characters actually did contribute to making the victory possible. It wasn't just Asta, you know, like does determination. It was okay. These guys all do stuff to set things up, and then Asta does it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I did like that. I didn't realize that bird had been flying around all this time, but I guess that was
weirdly on a I can't remember exactly what number it was, but there was a Black Clover popular because the Shonen Jump manga, like every so often the series have a popularity polls and stuff. You know, for the characters in it for the Japanese readership.
Yeah.
One called Chainsaw Man just had one, and this one character's car got 7th place.
Wait, what?
Because, like, her car continually getting, like, wrecked was kind of a joke in the series.
Oh, in Black Clover?
No. A totally different series called Chainsaw Man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
It doesn't have an anime yet. It's a weird series. It's kind of like, so It very much has the feel that the author is just like thinking, you know what? People like say, oh, you should try to do this to be popular. You should try to do stuff. People like, screw that. I'm just going to do whatever I want in this comic. Who cares? And then if it's popular, it'll be popular. And if it isn't, it isn't. I'm just going to do what I want. That's what the series feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway, what was I, oh yeah, I was saying the first one was, here's the weirdest thing. So this, the first popularity poll, this was, I can't remember exactly, this happened around chapter 118, it was when it was put out. I'm sorry, the internet, I'm trying to look at this stuff online and the internet's going really slowly for some reason.
No problem. But
anyway, so this was before we had any idea that Sekre, the bird, was anything but just like a random bird. It was just kind of a random bird that hung around Asta a bit. It didn't even really show that much of a signs of intelligence yet. So let me think. No, I think it did some, but it was just weird that it then got... So, the bird got fifth place in the popularity poll, and it had, like, not even shown much in terms of, like, that. At least at the time when the poll was actually done, I don't think it had. I think it did afterwards, but that was between when they had the poll and when... Because there's, like, a gap between when they actually do the poll and when they actually have the results, because they got to count them all up and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So the point I was trying to make was that this bird was weirdly popular even before anything got revealed in that first poll, but then not so much in the second poll where it was dropped to 19th place. Let me see, was the third poll before or after? And then after her like identity got revealed as this, she only like bumped up to number 16 in the third. Although to be fair, there were more characters by that point, so
yeah.
Anyway, so what I was saying
we're talking about the bird?
Yes, yes. Actually, Black Clover. It's weird because I remember finding this stuff to be pretty boring when I read it in the manga. That's why I said, well, I think this whole thing is kind of boring after this point. But then they just beat the guy. So I was thinking I must have misremembered. I think what happened was that I remember the earlier parts of this arc weren't that interesting to me. I don't know if they were better in the anime because I didn't see those parts in the anime. So I think that made it so that I wasn't paying as much attention, and it was like with the later parts of this arc, I was like, so I was therefore more confused and thus was less interested and more as a result of all that. But if I had, I guess, been paying more attention the whole time, maybe I would have liked it more then, as I'm enjoying it more in the anime. Or maybe it just plays better in anime. Maybe Black Clover, I feel, is like a series that reads better when you like kind of go through a bunch of it rather than when you just like read the chapter week to week. And the anime, even if you're watching it weekly, you're getting more content per episode, per week, therefore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's, it makes me like wonder if, because there's this arc a while ago, we didn't watch the anime at all, but I just remember feeling really bored in it with the manga. But I'm wondering, well, gee, if I go back and reread them, will I like it more? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's basically it. They managed to beat the bad guy, or apparently managed to beat the bad guy because the episode ends. But it's one of those things where you kind of know. I mean, look, the episode's title is The Final Attack.
Now, is the anime still, like, going in Japan?
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't mean it's the final. Just the final of this arc.
Yeah, there's, let me just double check. So this was episode 119. There's a total of 132 episodes in Japan. Although it looks like they stopped after episode 132, which aired on April 28th. I'm going to assume they just put it on hiatus because of like the virus is what I'm getting. Because it does mention there's going to be another episode coming up at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just been put on hiatus, which honestly might not be the worst thing considering it was really getting close to where the manga was.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to go into a filler arc, but actually it had some potential more than a regular filler arc because the manga, what happens is there's like, they basically have a big off, they kind of have a time skip where everyone does training and stuff, and I guess the anime is just going to show us that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently with at least some involvement of the manga's author, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, that's Black Clover. We got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Golden Wind, episode 28, the last one we're going to be getting for some amount of time. Who knows how long, but, let's see. So the bad guy manages to get away, the guy who dies this episode, you know, the good guy who dies,
the one
Abakio.
Yeah, the one that we cared the least about, he happened to be the one who died.
Yeah, it's just like that, he's the one that's gotten the least development. He's gotten what, I think one fight? He got one fight from what I remember. He might have been involved in another or two, but otherwise he was mostly just kind of in the background. So, of course, he's the one that gets killed. That was my, like, note. I mean, I get why the characters are upset, but to the viewer, it's like, well, this was the character that I had the least investment in. He got the least development. He's done the least.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's putting the thing together so that they can figure out what the boss guy looks like. But he manages to sneak in and kill him before he can reveal that. But he manages to do one of those things where he, while dying, manages to make something that let them know what he looks like. And then it looks like we're getting a big flashback from him, but no, it turns out that wasn't like a flashback. That's just him actually being dead and meeting his, like, dead partner. So, yeah. So, okay, I will give it credit. I thought it was going to go the whole death by flashback thing, but no, it actually averted that. Yay!
Slightly.
I mean, it was still, I'll be honest, I still thought it was kind of boring, but it was still, it was something different at least.
I didn't really care for this episode too much.
Neither did I, honestly. It was just a case of, there's like not really a battle or any thing. It's just kind of them, not much happened, I guess.
Yep.
I mean, he died, that was something, but it's still like most of the episode was just kind of sitting around.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And then we've got Naruto Shippuden, episode 298. So, Itachi and Nagato was his name, you know, the pain guy, are back because they're among the resurrected zombie people. You know, this kind of just feels like an excuse to, like, just bring dead characters back and have them interact with the, like, the characters.
Yeah, really. Like, okay, I'll be honest with you. This episode had me confused out of my mind, but I noticed that this Itachi thing, like, reminded me of one of the Light Yagami things in Death Note, where, like, he thought about it, like, 100 steps ahead. And he knew that someday he would use this, so he would use it against himself. Like, it was so weird. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That super convoluted thing where he had all that stuff. To be fair, Itachi says that it didn't turn out exactly as he planned, but it was more of a case of, well, it didn't turn out exactly, but it actually might have turned out even better.
Yeah.
I'm repeating what I commented to you when we were watching it, but it did... I'm just reminded of this thing from Code Geass where, this is such a... So the main character in it, he has his power to actually, give people commands. Like, if he looks him in the eye, and he can basically, like, say, you will do this, and then they have to do that. And there's restrictions on the rules, of course, but,
Of course.
Yeah. But anyway, there's this part where he ends up having to go up against this other guy who has a power to literally read minds. So in order to beat him, he comes up with this plan and sets out with someone. Then he uses a mirror to issue a command to himself to forget it. So that then the whole thing can work without the guy, the mind reading guy, being able to figure it out. And that was a whole lot less convoluted than this.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, like, there's a fight, but it almost doesn't even really matter. Because it's like, well, we need to have them around for something, so I guess they'll have a fight. And then they'll do this stuff. I mean, it was a little interesting, I guess, to have some of, like, the conversations. Like, you talk to you, oh, so Naruto, how'd my big convoluted plan with Sasuke work? Well, not so good. He actually decided to try to destroy Konoha. Oh, well, I guess that didn't go exactly as planned.
Yeah. Too bad we couldn't have gotten that guy who was sent to kill Gaara and, the guy who there was that whole...
Yeah, and he was like just, and then he turned out he was just acting the whole time.
Right. So then he could have, yeah.
Yeah, instead we got like Gaara's father, who was much less, I mean, neither of them were super important, like, plot-wise, but that other guy was the one who actually, we saw the interactions with Gaara. That was the one that we would have had a higher investment in.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Hold on a second. My dog's barking.
Okay.
Okay, apparently we had a pizza delivered to our house that wasn't ours, so that's why the dog was barking.
Okay.
So, yeah, sorry. I just didn't want that to be in the background. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. So, but yeah, like, this whole thing, I mean, I guess it is a little interesting to be, like, going, hey, look, the characters are fighting these guys they did before, kind of like at the end of the first English Fire Emblem game where the bad guy reanimates all, like, the major bosses you faced before, and then you face them all again at once. So... I don't know. Guess not really that much to say about this other than that whole goofy, like, I planned all these convoluted things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's the Toonami stuff.
Yep. I don't really have much else to say about that episode, so.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. I will say, I wish we had been doing this stuff instead of the filler, because even if this has, like I said, it might be dumb, but it's at least a fun kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, the most memorable thing about, the only thing I remember about this episode is this part where everyone's looking at Naruto and being all amazed while he's naked, and you think he, and it makes it look like they're just like thinking he's very big in a particular area, but it's actually just they're amazed he's walking on the water.
Yeah, know, they're like ninjas. So ninjas can do that or something.
Okay. So, that joke of questionable taste, aside, we'd better get away from that sort of stuff. So we got Shangri-La episode, 17. So let's see. So, Takehiko, the big beard guy, says, well, he says something, and I'm confused about what he was actually saying.
Yeah, he was basically saying, because he knew that Kuniko is one of the heirs of Atlas, and he kind of just, like, got mad over it and wanted to kill her, which, but obviously it takes too much time to squeeze a trigger, and so that soldier guy, whose name I should know but I can't remember at this moment,
I'm looking at the thing, it is Kunihito.
Yeah, that's right, because it's so much like Kuniko's name. Kunihito, like, comes out of nowhere and, like, knocks out of his hand. So, apparently, Kunihito is now good. And so they're busy trying to do... Or no. Now they have to get something from those three messed up guys in Akihabara, and Karin decided to just buy all of Akihabara. She just bought the whole city, and she's like she set herself up in one of the upstairs rooms, which did remind me a lot of Steins Gate for some reason. But then she gets pulled into the whole thing about that Miko who got turned into that kid, and so all Mikuni wants is like a pool for the new Miko to be in. So Karin, like, gives her that. And then she's asking Karin questions. And she doesn't want to... She sees that someone else lies and gets killed. So it's so funny that she puts on all the advertisements for maids. Honesty. Something... what was it? It was like... it was something about honesty. I forget what it was.
Huh, I don't think I caught that. Because I was going to ask, like, what, you didn't tell them that they, that if they weren't honest, they would die? But
yeah, yeah, there was a big thing. It was like, honesty, see, I can't think of it right now. But it was like, honesty wanted or something.
Okay, I missed that part then.
Yeah, yes, she put that up on the sign because... Like, she taped over part of the sign because that one person had lied and got killed. And
oh, then, wait, she put the honesty I wanted afterwards?
Yeah, afterwards.
Oh, okay. All right. And that did just make me a little... Oh, I was kind of wondering. No one said before, told them beforehand, hey, you'd better make sure you tell the truth to this person. I was, like, surprised that all of them apparently are just like, oh, well... Okay, I guess a job's a job. I'll just keep doing this.
Yeah. And then that woman with the short hair kind of bails Karin out because she was about to... she didn't want to give away the fact that she's doing this all just to get her money. And she kind of like bails her out by like offering to her a different answer, which saves her for having to tell the truth to her, which I thought was pretty funny. And to be honest with you, like watching this the second time through, like the first time through, I really loved Kuniko, but this time around, I feel like Karin is actually the best character. Mm-hmm. So,
join us.
So, yeah. Yeah, I actually really liked the episode, mainly because of her. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, that and then there's that, like, weird part where, oh, well, she finally meets, like, actually meets Kuniko and and Momoko, that's her name.
Yeah.
And them, like when before it was just a brief thing, so I'm like, oh well, finally 17 episodes in, we're gonna get that. And there's that weird part when Karin comes in and she just does the most awkward walking to get into her seat and yeah. like just trips, like why are you walking like that? And she doesn't, and even not only that, she does it in this weird roundabout way. She like walks around the chair rather than directly into it. I don't know why she was doing it, but it was funny.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. So, yeah, so that was yeah, Shangri-La. We're finally starting to put the stuff together, I guess.
Yeah.
Although I know Takehiko isn't dead because you didn't see him actually die.
And we didn't get a flashback either, so...
Well, like, he just falls into the water. Well, I knew... Here's why I know he... here's the thing, because he... because if they wanted to, like, have... Well, no, wait. I was going to say if they wanted to make it clear he definitely died, they could have just had him shoot himself. But then I remember, oh, he doesn't have the gun anymore. I guess he could have, like, pulled one out and pointed at himself or something. But the point is, like, they clearly did it in an ambiguous way.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, that's Shangri-La Episode 17. So now we have Excel World episode 6. So Taku is a good guy now, I guess. Like a super good guy. He's like not like he's like the suddenly super nice and great and stuff. It's like the fact, you know, he was so bad and stuff, and then he's like all of a sudden he's like good, and I'm like, wait, is this My Little Pony Friendship is Magic? That happens with like multiple antagonists. They're like so awful, and then they're just like, oh well, now I've embraced friendship.
Like Q.
What?
Q.
Who?
Q, you know? The you guy mean... who played Q.
Oh, you mean you mean the character who is voiced by the person who played?
Yeah.
No, Discord actually is the exception. He's still a jerk after he reforms. he's still like a jerk. He's just not actively malevolent anymore. like I said, he's like the one exception. Okay, we got, right, so Excel World. So, because Taku has been shown the power of friendship and is now a super nice guy, he's basically helping out Haru level up and such, and he manages to level up, but then, like, spends almost all of his, Link burst points in order to do it, and he's like, oh, well, that was embarrassing. So, yeah, and Chiri gets told what's going on, and such, so she's in it now, then, let's see, and then he ends up with then he ends up meeting up with this what was her name, like the person who's supposed to serve sort of as a bodyguard?
Oh man, I can't remember right now.
Let me see. Okay. This is okay. Now I'm confused because I'm looking at the episode description on Wikipedia, and it's listing a bunch of stuff I do not remember seeing in the show. And I'm like, did someone accidentally put stuff from the next episode into this, or what? Because or was there like an after credits thing that I missed? Like, how do you remember the episode ending? Did I accidentally like stop it early or something?
Man, I don't know why I can't remember this. Yeah, I'm about as confused as you are. So probably we probably saw the same thing. So yeah.
Well, let me see here. I'm just trying to look this up because I thought what happened at the end, and maybe I'm totally wrong, was that Taku goes to meet Kuroyuki Hime, and then she like activates a burst thing, and then that's it. But then, and that's the end of the episode. But then this episode synopsis is listing stuff that happened after that. So I don't know if it's an error on this. I'm going to, like, just pull this episode up just to be sure about this. Because this might need editing. Okay, but yeah, so that was basically the episode. While I wait for this thing to work, did you have anything you wanted to add to it?
No. This episode was probably my least favorite of the show so far. Like, there was a few good moments in it, but wasn't as interesting as a lot of the other stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to look this up to be sure about it. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It ends with Kuroyuki Hime announcing burst link, then it goes to the credits. So this must be listing stuff that happens in the next episode in this synopsis. So whoops, I think I might have spoiled myself on some things. let's see. That was it. I don't know. I kinda liked it, but it did, Taku just like it changes so much. I was wondering, did I miss something at the end of the previous episode? Did I miss an episode?
Yeah, I felt similarly about that. Yeah, definitely. It was, yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's Excel World. We move on to Overlord episode 7. So they all go to the woods. Well, the first they get to the town and meet up with people and some stuff happens. What's his name manages to work out that Momo is Ainz, which suddenly made me like remember, why was he trying to keep his identity a secret with this? Because isn't his goal to try to make his name known really well across everywhere in order to find where, like, if any of his, like, former guildmates got transported here also?
Yeah, this series isn't exactly too smart with that. At least ReZero has that built-in thing that makes it so that Subaru can't tell anyone that he can return by death. But every time, you would think if he really wanted people to know who he was, he could just say, hey, are you a vigilante? Did you play a video game to get here or something? I mean, it seems like it would be so easy.
Well, true, but he can't, like, do that to every single person. The idea was to try to make everyone know of his name so that if anyone who played that game was transported here also, they would go, aha, I know that care that name. Maybe he got transported here or something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they end up in this forest looking for the wise king of the forest, some big monster, which turns out to just be a giant hamster.
Yeah.
So which
speaks like Yoda. A hamster that speaks like Yoda.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. And I was just wondering, that thing, was there some sort of verbal quirk in Japanese that was, like, imitating? Because Japanese compared to English is more, you can rearrange things in a sentence than you can in English. It's like, you know, if I, than you can in English, I believe. Whereas English, like, sentences are in a fairly strict word order. Whereas, it's been so long. Sorry, what?
I'm looking up the article on it right now. She usually speaks in a syntax opposite of the common vernacular, often beginning a sentence with the object and ending with the subject.
Okay.
I'm assuming if they say that, then that probably means it's like that in Japanese too. Like, they probably would have noted if it was just English.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, Japanese it's more fluid in that than, like, English. English is, but it's not like something like Spanish where you can, like, put stuff more in different places. Or I've been trying to kind of study some Latin. Latin is super fluid as to where you can put stuff in a sentence because nouns shift their spelling based on how they're being used.
Yeah.
Like if I, like, for example, if I, like, say I see you, that would be wouldn't that be like ego vido te, something like that. You can put those three words in any order in the sentence and it'll be comprehensible because the form of the word for you is accusative, which means something is being done to someone. So, like, it's saying the form of it is just saying I, the active person, see you, the person who is being seen. So you can put them in any order and convey the meaning, for example. I think Greek is like that too. But like I said, I don't even know why I said that. I guess I just wanted to babble on about random stuff I was looking up. The point I was trying to make was that Japanese is more fluid in word order, but not as fluid as other languages. So that was a long digression to make that random point. Now we know where that hamster character from Isekai Quartet is from. I just thought it was like a random original monster they had, but no, apparently he's from the show.
Yeah.
So this show episode was weird because I look at it and I'm thinking, well, let's see, not really much happened. It's just Ainz clobbering his way through things really easily. Nothing was particularly interesting, and yet I still enjoyed it.
I like the hamster, but other than the hamster, by the way, didn't he at one point say he was going to call it Hamtaro?
Yeah, briefly. Apparently that was actually something the dub added in. That line, I mean, he was talking in the Japanese, but the reference of calling him Hamtaro wasn't in there, apparently. Which is actually kind of surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, So yeah, that was Overlord. It's like, it's weird in that I look at it and I'm saying, well, I just can't really see that much that's great about this episode, but I still enjoyed it. So mission accomplished, I guess. Okay. So we're on Saga of Tanya, the Evil, episode 7. Huh, I'm looking at the Wikipedia thing, and it mentions that there's a recap episode between 6 and 7, but it's not listed on Crunchyroll at all, which is interesting. I'm just, like, look, the Wikipedia description just says a recap of previous episodes from Tanya's point of view. And I was thinking, huh, well, I don't like recap episodes, but if it's done with a slant to it, it might at least be kind of interesting. It just surprises me that it's not even, they didn't, like, dub it or any. Thing. I guess they just figure, well, no one wants to see it, so whatever.
Yeah. Why would you make it in the first place then?
why would you make a recap episode after only 6 episodes?
I know. Yeah. I don't know.
So, anyway. So, in this episode, basically, I can't remember the name of the actual. What is the name? Do you remember the name of the Germany stand-in in this episode? Like in this show,
the Empire or something. Yeah.
The show like gives all these alternate names and makes it hard to remember like who's supposed to be what.
Yeah, I forget what the Germany is. Okay. The Fatherland. I don't know.
Well, that's just, well, I mean, people call the actual Germany the Fatherland, so, yeah. That's just, like, the name for it. I'm just gonna call it Germany.
Okay.
So, Germany launches this, they're launching this this faint attack that's to disguise the actual attack, which Tanya, his group ends up being involved in, so they, you know, get rid of all the, cannons and stuff, which allow the German army and fleet to bypass all the stuff. And actually, okay, I'll be honest, I was a little confused about exactly what was accomplished, but apparently it was a really big victory.
Yeah.
Then that other guy, that one guy, what was his name? Armand? Something like that. Whatever. That person who the guy who showed up earlier in that kind of went up against her in an earlier episode, then ends up being killed by her because he just, you know, decides, well, I guess I'll just go and try to kill her myself for, I guess, revenge, determination. I don't know. The motivation of this was a little weird.
Yeah. This episode was not my favorite. Mainly because Being X never showed up in it. And I think like that's the only real thing this show has going for it is the whole Being X thing. Like otherwise, all it is just a show about war. And I don't really care about war. And I want the main character to lose. So
I just like, yeah, that is the thing. And because before I was saying, well, I don't mind the fact she just wins at everything. And then after just one episode later, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of waiting for her to get some kind of a loss at this point.
Yeah, it's just getting kind of monotonous because it's like, okay, they're going to have a great victory, another great victory. And it's like, okay, yeah, maybe we're sticking to the real world a little too much for our own good, you know. It's like there's definitely things they could do with this to make it more interesting. You know, they could have like Being X show up at like random times to make things harder on her. And, you know, there's so many things I can think of that they could do to make this, you know, not as monotonous. So,
Yeah, I'm not even like really having that big of a I just want to have her. It's not even the fact that she wins everything. It's everything. It's just that nothing seems to be a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to be fair, you can say it's weird because before, like literally last week, I was saying, well, it's something that Tanya and Overlord both share, but I don't mind it as much in Tanya. And now I'm thinking, actually, I think it's bothering me more in Tanya now because Overlord at least kind of knows that's what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Black Clover is just shonen incarnate with all of like the tropes and the cliches and stuff, and there's really not like much of anything at all that's particularly original in it, but it knows that and just like says, well, yeah, that's what it is. I'm going to be the most shonen show ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the fact that it's that level of, I can't really call it self-awareness because self-awareness kind of, you know, is more involves like characters, you know, like Joe, like making fun of itself. More of the fact of, look, yeah, sure, this is kind of, this is kind of a problem, but I'm just going to own it. So it'll be special because of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm well explaining it, but,
I understand. Yeah.
That's my problem. I'm not even saying Tanya has to lose. I just want Tanya to actually struggle and such. Like, for example, let me think. Well, I was going to, like, wonder if Light Until the End ever actually lost anything in Death Note. But was there anything he ever actually lost in?
He didn't lose, but he was, like, kind of dragged along during that one point where he forgot about the Death Note.
Yeah, but that was part of his plan, so...
Right, yeah, it was part of his plan. But at least it felt like he was... It felt like he didn't have any control because he's, like, you know, yelling at his dad not to kill him and stuff, and then...
Yeah, I guess the point I was making with Light was even if he never lost, he still had to struggle and work hard and such, and... You know, I just have to wonder, this is something I've always wondered, and it's impossible to, like, replicate this, or even to really see what people were saying, because this was, like, before people were really, really talking about this kind of stuff online, at least to the extent they do now. When in Death Note, because everyone knows the meme just as planned now, and such, like, that's one of the best known things about it. If you go into a Death Note, like, you can't even really discuss the show without that. But when it was coming out, we have to remember there was a good amount of time in, like, the real world in which Light just had his memory lost and was working with L. And I just have to wonder what did the readers think about this? Were they speculating, oh, is he, like, going to be a good guy now? Were they wondering what's going to be happening? Like, what was the impact originally when that chapter of the manga first came out and no one knew beforehand that's what was going to happen? What was, like, the impact of that? I just have to wonder.
Yeah, and it was before the advent of social media, so...
In fact... Not even just that. Well, there was some social media, but the problem is, like, it was more, I think, most of the message boards where this might have been discussed are probably not even around anymore. But the bigger problem is that this was, I don't know how quickly, like, the scanlations were being brought out at that point, but I would assume most of the discussion was, you know, just in Japanese, because that's where it came out. I don't know exactly. Yeah, I think the scanlations were following the manga pretty closely, but I don't know how closely. But there wouldn't have been that many people discussing it at that point. It was like the anime that got it popular. It's not like now where so many manga series are, like, being discussed and they're getting basically almost simultaneous like official releases. So that's just what I'm wondering. Like, looking back at what... I just wonder what the reaction of people going into the series without ever knowing that, because it's not just a matter of reading it. It's a matter of reading it and discussing it, where you can like have someone read through the series not knowing anything and get to that, but it's not the same as the discussions that presumably went on, which you can't access because, like I said, these would have probably all been in Japanese and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, not sure.
Okay. All right. One other thing about Tanya I wanted to mention, because I was looking on the TV tropes page for it. At the bottom of the page, as a little joke, it like actually says that thing that it says at the end of each episode, the whole, you know, this program is fiction, all persons, groups, etc., you know, are fictitious and not of relation to anything else. So it lists there, but if you click on what, but it's a link, and if you click on it, it brings you to trope page Blatant Lies.
That's whoever came up with that was pretty clever with it.
I just wonder if, like, they put that on Tanya almost as a joke, I have to wonder. Because yeah. I don't remember seeing that in other series, although it's possible they just didn't bother to, you know, put a subtitle for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whew. So, that was Saga of Tanya the Evil. Then we conclude with Isekai Quartets episodes 9 and 10. So we get the beach episode thing. and then they do that whole, like, I can't remember what they call it, the thing where you're just supposed to go in through, walk through the dark with a bunch of people. And then there's that part.
Test of Courage.
Test of Courage, yeah. Where the big thing is that Aqua mentions herself like being a goddess and reincarnating Kazuma, which makes Tanya assume that she's being X and get really angry.
Yeah.
Until she gets calmed down. And actually, I was looking, because see, this is something that I, nowadays, for more recent anime, I'm able to go to, you know, message boards and see how people reacted to episodes when they initially aired. It was just kind of funny when someone says something like, the real question about this is how many times did Aqua have to die before Subaru figured out how to calm Tanya down? Yeah, you know that wasn't a first go, Subaru. But unfortunately, then in the next episode, it turns out that Subaru hasn't died yet in this, which... I'm honestly disappointed because it would have been so funny if they revealed that he had actually died multiple times in the series already and we just never saw it. But yeah, because Kazuma gets told... So when we find out a bunch of other people from the series are in some other class, and they're going to be going up against each other with the winning group returning to their world.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of them, Chris, you know, tells Kazuma, oh, you can't, if you die here, you won't be able to come back. Let's see. So there's that. Then there's that kind of actually goofy part where Subaru is talking about how overpowered Reinhardt is.
Yeah.
He could dodge any attack that he doesn't know about before, and most attacks that he does.
Well, but like, how much of that was even in the original? Like, whenever he was saying all that stuff about Reinhardt, I felt like we missed an entire second season of ReZero, because I don't remember. Well,
it's either like exaggeration for the sake of comedy, or maybe there was more stuff to indicate he was really over powered. I feel like I did remember reading someplace that he was basically the most powerful, at least human, in the series.
Yeah, they may be taking stuff from the light novels and yeah. Stuff that people already know, but we don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, like, I don't know, I thought most of the beach stuff was kind of boring, but the rest was a bit more amusing. But I kind of feel like, well, okay, before I get to that, one other thing. So, you know, except Kazuma is, like, the only one who doesn't want to actually win the thing because he likes this more than, like, his regular world.
Yeah.
So, and I was just thinking, wait, like, why in the world does Tanya want to go back to her war-torn world? What's her motivation? Is it that she just doesn't, like, if they had explained, like, she just doesn't want to lose, that could have made a little more sense.
Yeah.
But the thing that bothers me a little is, like, you know, I feel like the show isn't doing as much of just the concept of, hey, these characters are from these different series, let's have them talk to each other and see the fun ways they could interact. It's kind of like putting all this sort of, you know, like, other stuff around it. Because I'm just, like, thinking, okay, maybe I'm putting, maybe I can understand why they wouldn't want to go too far into this because it's a comedy series and it could get confusing. But, like, let's remember. So Tanya got legitimately, like, reincarnated by Being X, or maybe just transported or whatever. And so Aqua can do that to, like, people. She did it to Kazuma. Shouldn't there be some question as to how they fit together in the same cosmology?
Yeah, I feel like they could do a lot more than they do, too. They seem... the biggest problem I see with Isekai Quartet is that the characters talk too much to each other, to, you know, the people they know, instead of talking to the people they don't know. And that would be what gives it its charm, you know? Like I want to see Aqua, you know, interact with some of these people, you know, like, I feel there's so much darkness could do. Megumi, no, but yeah, the other ones, yeah. So
I just, like, feel like there's so many questions you would think Tanya would have for Aqua, unless maybe we're supposed to get the implication that after she got calmed down, she just decided Aqua was crazy and didn't want to buy into what she was saying. But I just think it could have been interesting to try to see. You don't have, like, if, like, because if Aqua doesn't mention any, like I said, it's just these two series have these sort of similarities. And obviously they're different continuities, but some attempt of the characters to actually figure out how it all fits together, even if they just decide, well, I have no idea, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, that's, like, the thing. That was, like, I just wish they had gone... It was enjoyable, but I just feel like the series could do more. It could have these sort of interactions and such between characters from different series. And we got some of those earlier on, like you know, the funny stuff with Tanya and Ainz initially, like, interacting, or that part where Subaru and Kazuma are comparing their lives. I want more stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. And I'm still so disappointed that they actually said Subaru, like, hasn't died in this, when that could have been such a funny joke. To just go back and go, oh yeah, this was a part where he died, this was a part where he died, this was a part where he died.
Yeah, there's so many more things they could be doing with this. That's why it's a little disappointing. But yeah. Still pretty good, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's good enough that you're disappointed it isn't better.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was Isekai Quartet. That's all of our shows. Then, do you want to give the top three?
Yeah. Third place for me this week will be Black Clover. Second place, Isekai Quartet, and first place will be Shangri-La, or I can't pronounce it, but that's my favorite of the week.
Yeah, That's yeah, that makes sense. That's about where I'd be going, except I'd be putting them in a bit of a different order. I would be putting Black Clover actually in first place, followed by Shangri-La, and then Isekai. Sorry, no, sorry, wrong, wrong. It would be second place is Isekai Quartet, and then third is Shangri-La.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the shows then. So yeah, I don't know, anything random you wanted to talk about? I know we've already done enough of that, but
Well, I do wanted to advertise that I may be doing a Survivor fan fiction of Isekai Quartet. It just seems like it makes too much sense to not do that. So I'm trying to figure out how to do it best. But yeah, I
Well,
would like to do that because I think I could make it really funny. Like whenever I used to write these things, I used to kind of take them seriously, and now like everything is just a parody of something. So mainly parody of Survivor itself. So usually you have to know the show well enough to get the jokes, but yeah, I want to do one of Isekai Quartet because it's like so easy. It's like, oh, there you go, four tribes, so
well,
yeah.
I guess we'll have to. Well, my suggestion would be to finish Isekai Quartet first.
Yeah, I know. I'm still on another season anyway, so
Okay, everyone. So, I guess that's it for that. You can find our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com, and we'll see you next week.
Piney.
So, I've been thinking, how you always say that at the end of the episode is kind of an homage to Lucky Star? So I always like, but then the thing in Lucky Star is they don't actually end with that. Then they just have the thing like come down and then the characters just talk for a while afterwards. So I was thinking that we should do that. You should say that and then we just have some brief stinger or something about something random. Like, here's an interesting quest thing. So once when I was younger and we were seeing some sort of thing at a sort of planetarium thing at the school. And there was some story about how we saw this story, and it was about like these aliens that were trying to, I don't know, move to some other planet, and they end up like at Earth, and then they're like, oh, well, there are people here, and they're all, messing stuff up. What are we gonna do? And then they're like given the choices of, oh, well, just going to hibernation for a few thousand years and then see what happens, or contact them, or go to some to the next possible host. Planet we could go. And then like the people get to vote, and of course it's, oh, they contact humans. Yay. And that's just kind of where the thing ends. And I just always wondered, was that an actual vote? 'Cause it seems like everyone would always choose that one. So didn't they even have alternate endings for it?
I don't know.
Okay. You know what? That was a lot more interesting when I had it in my head.
I was totally confused.
Yeah, it was basically okay. I'll skip through the specific stuff. It's like this. So we watched this sort of thing at this sort of planetarium thing, and then you like got to vote for like what happened at the end. Like like literally there was stuff and the seats you could do that, and then it
Oh,
showed you
yeah.
that. And I was just like wondering, did they actually just have that as the only ending? And that was just for show? Or was there actually, like different ones made for the different things? Because we never got to like see any alternates.
Yeah, I was just like so thrilled whenever we got to see Pluto one time because most of the time we never made it past Jupiter. The one time we made it to Pluto and I was so pumped. It was either Pluto or Return Home, and Pluto won.
Well, Pluto's not even a planet anymore.
Yeah, I know. I thought he got reinstated.
I mean, it would. I mean, if they did, it would keep that. Well, I was going to say it preserves that mnemonic device for remembering all of the planets, but I can't remember the mnemonic device anymore. Mm-hmm. It was my. It started with my, and there was a word mother in there somewhere for Mars.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. Honestly, I think I can remember them from memory anyway. Let me see. It's Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. Oh, dang. I always do have trouble remembering Neptune and Uranus. Isn't it Uranus, Neptune, Pluto?
That's right.
Okay. So, all right, that's our first attempt for the post-credits zinger, which was not very zingy in retrospect. Look, we'll try to do better next time.
Okay.